Our text this morning, Romans 7, verse 24, and the first part of verse 25, also printed on your outlines. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have in our text a child of God speaking. A child of God who knows his own wretchedness. A child of God who seeks a deliverer and finds him. A child of God who is filled with gratitude for such a great salvation. And now the point this morning is not to analyze the Apostle Paul, but rather to join him. Join him in the confession as a people of God. Is this your attitude this morning as you come to the table of the Lord? Is this too your experience? Do you say, oh, wretched man that I am. For Jesus didn't come for those who are righteous or think they are righteous. He came for sinners. And if we have learned to say this, oh, wretched man that I am, may we also be able to ask the question, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul does not only say that he is a miserable man, but he follows it up, doesn't he, with a question, who will deliver me? Are you asking that question as you look at the table of the Lord Jesus? And asking that question, do you find the answer? Are you able to say, through Jesus Christ, our Lord? And with that answer, if it is genuine questioning and answering, do we respond, I thank God? You see, we have in our text exactly the same line as we do in the outline of the Heidelberg Catechism. Boys and girls, you know the outline, don't you, from Catechism? Sin, salvation, service, guilt, grace, gratitude. This is the exclamation of the Apostle Paul as a result of self-examination. He finds conflict in his life. He finds two laws at work in him. On the one hand, there is a delight in the law of God. But there is also a law that brought him into captivity to sin. And those two laws war against each other in him. He found that what he loved to do, he didn't do. And he found that that which he does not want to do, what he hated, that's what he does. And that is what brings him to the exclamation in our text, oh, wretched man that I am. So that's my theme, the wretched man, child of God. Notice, first of all, the consciousness of deep misery. Notice, second of all, his question regarding deliverance. And then thirdly, his answer of thankfulness. The wretched child of God is conscious of deep misery. It's a great burden that he would like to cast off from himself somewhere else or on someone else. What is the cause of his misery? Why is the child of God miserable? There are those who are merely miserable because of natural sufferings. As we trod through this wilderness of this life, there is troubles, there is distress, there is suffering. For others, there is misery because of the results of sin. Because of sin, coming into the world was God's curse, and therefore pain and sickness and sorrow and death. And that person says, oh, how terrible my life is. And still others are miserable because they're afraid that when they die, they will not go to heaven. And there is nothing characteristically, distinctively Christian in that. Just being afraid of what's going to happen to them. The Apostle Paul is not now thinking in our text about natural miseries. He's not even afraid of death. In fact, he looks forward to it, because then he will be at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is not afraid that he's not saved. He is saved. Paul's misery and the cause of the misery of the people of God is, in our text, the body of this death. What does that little phrase mean, the body of this death? There are those that believe that that phrase is figurative. In other words, they are saying sin is here pictured as a body. But Scripture presents to us, other than that, that the body is the instrument of sin. That is, it is the old sinful nature. Sin is accomplished by the body. It's down there in our hearts. It goes to our minds. We think about it, and then we act on it. For beloved, the old sinful nature is found in our flesh. And when we say in our flesh, it means in our body as well as in our souls. Do not be tempted with the Greek philosophy that just the body as material is evil and we've got this pure soul like a bird caught in a cage. And so for the Greek philosophers, for Plato, death was welcome because that pure soul would be set free from this sinful body. That's not the case at all from Scripture. Body and soul, we are sinners. And it reveals itself in our lives. And we would desire to be delivered from that sin within us, that old sinful nature. That is according to the inward man, that renewed man. He desires to be delivered. That new man that is begun in us in regeneration. That new man that increases in faith, and as he increases in faith, is converted. He turns away from sin more and more, and he turns to his God. And that faith grows, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us then about our deliverance. Oh, wretched man that I am. Beloved, that is not the confession of the natural man. He might be wretched because of, as a result of sin. He might even be wretched because the result of fear and remorse, like a Judas. I did this. How could I do it? Wretched man that I am, let me end my life. The natural man says, if only I could sin safely without suffering, then I would sin. So he is miserable because of the consequences of sin. He wants to drink way too much, and he comes down as an alcoholic, and his liver is diseased. Or he is sexually promiscuous, and he receives the diseases that come from that. The natural man only cares about the consequences of sin. If there were no consequences, he would sin with glee. It is the child of God who exclaims, "O wretched man that I am," and he does it because he loves God. He's rooted in that love for God. He has a desire for the riddance of sin in his life, body and soul. He has the desire for perfection. Perfection which we'll have only finally in heaven. The child of God looks at himself through God's word, and he sees that old man of sin, and he cries out, "O wretched man that I am." Or the publican who didn't dare to lift up his eyes to heaven, "Be merciful unto me, the sinner." So behold, beloved, it's not just sins that we commit, but it's that sinful nature. That is the worst enemy we have. Yes, there's Satan out there going about like a roaring lion to devour, yes. There's that sinful world around us that says, "Come play with us." But those two are so powerful because in you and in me is that natural man of sin. Something in Adam and Eve didn't even have when Satan came to them in the garden. How weak we are, do you realize that of yourself? How wretched I am. That brings me, beloved, to our second point. The question. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? The child of God, wretched in sin, seeks deliverance. It is not the case that at one point in our life we're conscious of sin, at another time in our life we're seeking deliverance, and still another time in our life we're thankful. But all of these three things are simultaneously there. All three of them are present in the life of the child of God because God has given him a new heart. And in that new heart dwells the Holy Spirit with his word, always seeking and finding and delivered. Conscious of our wretchedness, the child of God will always ask, "Who will save me?" We're seeking two different things when he asks, "Who will save us?" We are seeking legal deliverance from our sins and ethical deliverance from our sins. You know the difference between those two. Legal deliverance, ethical deliverance. Legal deliverance is as we stand underneath the law, condemned, and in the cross of Christ Jesus, we have there the work of Christ for us. Because of his work, God says in heaven, "You are righteous." And the Holy Spirit comes to us when we come in our prayers asking for forgiveness. And he says, "You are forgiven. You are white as snow. Your sins have been blotted out." That is judicial or legal deliverance. But that's just the beginning, isn't it? We want more than just forgiveness, but we want to be delivered from this body of death. We want that ethical deliverance. And the word for ethical deliverance is sanctification, where we are delivered from the corrupting force of sin, the polluting force of sin. That sin that is in our hearts and in our minds and is carried out by our lives. Oh Lord, deliver me from this sin. Knowledge of that kind of sin, we ask, who will save us? Why do we seek a deliverer? Because we know that you and I cannot deliver ourselves. Notice the Apostle Paul here by the Spirit does not say, how must I be delivered? Or he surely doesn't say, how can I deliver myself? But he asks now passively, who shall deliver me? The child of God, conscious of his misery, surely seeks. He seeks one outside of himself. He seeks one who is powerful to save. Not one who merely offers to save if we are willing, no. One who is able to save to the uttermost. One who saves because it is in God's counsel. One who is able to save because God gave us to him in eternity. And who is this one who is able to save us? He is, first of all, himself one who is blameless. He is without sin. For how could he save us if he has his own sins? We need one who is absolutely righteous. But not merely a real righteous man, but not a creature like himself of the dust. And surely not an animal, not another human being, not even an angel from heaven. He seeks deliverance from one who is not only man, but also who is God. God who is able to pay the awful price for our sins, pay it completely. Paying for it to say from the cross, it is finished. All the sins of those who are given to him have been blotted out once and for all there on the cross. Deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you this morning with me seeking a deliverer? Do you really hate all of your sins? And I ask that question because our hearts are so deceitful. Yes, we hate some sins, but do we lay all of our sins there before the cross of Christ Jesus? Or are there some hidden sins, some besetting sins that we want to try to hang on to and say, well, grace is cheap. Let me sin because God's grace is greater. Are there sins that you and I cherish and really do not want to be rid of? Our communion form speaks about that, doesn't it? It speaks about those who willfully walk in sin. They are warned not to come to this table. Are you seeking the right thing? Yes, many want to go to heaven, and they want that assurance, but that's not the first thing to seek, is it? We first of all seek to be delivered from the body of this death. That more and more we mortify our sinful flesh, and more by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, we put on the new man after the image of Christ Jesus. Where are we seeking and how are we seeking? And there's only one way. We seek that deliverer by delving into God's holy word. We don't depend upon some kind of mystical feeling. We don't wait for an angel to come down from heaven and to speak to us. That's a seeking outside of God's word. We're not waiting for some experience when we get old and gray that then we know that, we're saved, and we hope others also will have that experience. What's wrong with that? That is a seeking for the deliverer outside of the word of God for assurance. Those kind of people do not find, because you cannot find God outside of his word, not as the redeemer of sin. You can look at creation. It is an eloquent book. It's going to tell you many things about your God, how powerful he is, what glory he is, what beauty he has. But in nature, you're not going to find the God who is the God of your salvation. We look at creation, yes, we see death there because of sin. We see sickness there, cancers there. But that creation doesn't tell us why and how we can get rid of those things. But with the psalmist, you and I will say this morning as we look at the word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path. God is pleased here to reveal himself as the God of our redemption. So in creation, God reveals himself as powerful and glorious. In his word, he reveals himself as the God of our salvation. Jesus Christ reveals himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In scripture, he reveals that he pours out his spirit upon those who are his, so that they are being made, they are being fashioned more and more after the image of God. We lost that in the fall of Adam and Eve. We regain it again in regeneration and the work and the word of Christ in our hearts and lives. How beautifully here God reveals himself in his person, the triune God. He reveals himself in his glorious attributes, perfections, his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, his simplicity, his unchangeableness, his sovereignty, not only in creation, but in our salvation. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's the question. And that brings me to my third point, the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. A song. We talk about our wretchedness. We have asked the question, where is the deliverer? And child of God, as the hymn writer puts it, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Our Lord Jesus Christ. How sure are you, how sure am I that Jesus Christ can and will save every one of those whom God has given to him in eternity? The question, who will deliver me, is surely followed with the answer through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we have that surety? Because Scripture says, he who seeks will surely find. Scripture says, before they call, I will answer them. In other words, you cannot sincerely ask that question, who will deliver me, without the answer also being there. If you seek, you will surely find. That is the whole seeking by God's grace. God's grace asks us to look away from ourselves and say, where is this deliverer? And it's God's grace that gives us the answer. A hymn writer wrote these words, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. 'Twas not so much that I on thee took hold, as thou, dear Lord, on me took hold. In eternity, God in his purpose and plan took hold of us and gave us to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And in time, God seeks us, like the good shepherd who went out to find the lost sheep. It's not the 99,000 who thought themselves, it's not the 99 sheep that thought they were righteous that didn't need the shepherd right then. No, it's the one who knew that was lost that Jesus, the good shepherd, goes to seek out. 'Twas not so much that I on thee took hold as thou, dear Lord, on me, chosen by God in eternity, redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross, and now in time by the Holy Spirit, we seek that deliverer and we find him. In the Bible, you will find the answer to that question. Because it is God who not only gives us the question in his scripture this morning, it is also God who gives us the answer. And God's answer is this, I will deliver you through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ alone. Through Jesus Christ's work alone. God's answer. We are delivered by Christ, God's obedient Son, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the light of God's Word, God gives us the answer to the question. Isn't the Lord Jesus someone who is beautiful to you and me? Someone who is wonderful? Someone who is powerful? Powerful to take us out of the mire of our sins and set our feet upon the rock. Our Lord Jesus is not one who merely offers to save, but he does save, and he delivers all those who were given to him by the Father from all their sin and misery. Now already in principle, delivered from the guilt and the pollution of sin, and one day, the day of the Lord, when he takes us to himself in the new heavens and the new earth. Isn't Jesus someone wonderful? The hymn writer says, beautiful Savior, Son of God, Son of Man, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thee my soul's glory, my joy, and my crown. One day, now already in principle, delivered from the legal and the ethical salvation that we have in Christ. And one day, perfectly. When is that one day? The day we die, our souls, as God takes them up into heaven, he cleanses them from all sinful thoughts, impure motives. And when Jesus Christ comes again, then our bodies are also raised and made perfect. The corruptible will put on incorruption. The natural will put on the spiritual body. The mortal puts on immortality. And we will be with Christ forever and ever in the new heavens and the new earth. perfectly knowing Christ, perfectly loving Christ Jesus, perfectly serving Christ Jesus without end. Wretchedness, we're conscious of it. The question asked, who will deliver us? The answer, our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not done yet with the text. Thankfulness. Gratitude. Because notice in verse 25, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The child of God that is conscious of his sin and misery, seeking and finding deliverance, is characterized by this. He's thankful. Not thankful to himself. He's thankful to his God. God is our deliverer. Christ is God's mediator. He is the mediator through whom God works and accomplishes salvation, your and my salvation. And so we say, as we come to this communion table, I thank God. It is all of his marvelous grace. Yes, thanks is what pictures and corresponds to the grace that is shown to us. Again, the hymn writer says, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sins. With that word of God, let's go then to the form for the Lord's Supper in gratitude. Page 91 in the back of your Psalters. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29.